Welcome to week two, Private Practice Bootcamp. Been having fun with technology and trying out something new with the group call. So we'll have to see what we're going to do next time to make sure that everyone can actually see each other's faces. I know there is a solution to this problem. We just don't quite know what it is yet. But I wanted to check in with everybody and just see how has everyone been doing with this week's content, and if there were any questions right off the bat that we wanted to start off with. Clear as mud. Excellent. this week is a really important week for setting the intention, I guess, for a lot of the work that we're going to be doing going forward, because it's really getting you inside what do you want your actual practice to look like, and what is it about you that you already have to offer, regardless of whether you're new to counseling or not, because it's just a little bit about you. And so I guess maybe I'll just throw it back to everyone as far as what did you notice about yourself and about the way you were maybe thinking about your practice by going through the exercises for this week?
I can go, Summer. I felt that the initial questions, like how many clients per week and all that stuff, was really, really fine. But once I started to project into the future, like 5 or 10 years, mm-hmm. I was feeling a lot of fear.
Yeah.
And I was doubting myself, like, can I actually do that? Or am I just like right now just like dreaming, and this is not realistic at all? And is my life right now supporting that 5 or 10 years dream? I started panicking almost.
Okay,
and I was like, you know what? That's fine. Just write it down, Summer, and stop. So this is where I was at.
Okay. So when it came to that panic piece, what do you think was coming up for you there?
I think I was very scared of failure, and I'm like, I was like, I was doubting my capabilities. Can I actually achieve what I'm writing right now? Like, is that even possible, or is it just like unrealistic dreaming?
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's actually having to stand behind, this is what I really want.
Totally.
Yeah. It's terrifying.
Yes. Thanks, Kirsten.
It is. It's really, it is. I really want to validate that for you, though, because it is scary when we really look at big picture and when we actually allow ourselves and give ourselves permission to dream big. And I find that that's really where the magic happens, is when we're right on the edge of, can I really do this? We often set our goals really small so that we won't be disappointed. And there's something to that. We need to be able to actually have achievable small goals so we can get some quick wins. But when we're right on the edge of, I don't know, like this seems really, really almost unachievable, and yet maybe I could do it. That's often when you're going to push yourself beyond even what you know you're capable of.
Beautiful. Okay.
So you're not alone in that.
Excellent.
Can anyone else relate to what Summer was feeling when it came to looking at that really big picture future vision of your practice?
Yeah, I think that I can relate a bit as well. I really enjoyed the part of week two when you encouraged us, Constance, to really dream big and really think about what our ideal situation would be. And I found I really let myself go with that and felt quite energized and excited from that activity. And then afterwards, you know, my cognitive brain kind of kicked in, and I was going, oh, hold on, what about logistics? Like, I had this beautiful vision of being on a farm and, you know, maybe doing a little bit of horticulture therapy work or a little bit of wilderness therapy work within my practice. And I was like, hold on. Well, then my clients might have to drive to here. And what would that look like? And so I guess I started thinking about, some of those logistical questions afterwards.
Of course.
But, again, I really enjoyed the activity and found it energizing, because I think that there's ways that I can start aligning with that vision in baby steps, I think.
Well, problem, and that's the whole reason that even though some of those goals might be so far in the future, there might be so many steps between here and there, exactly like what you said, is you can start to even just, even if it's just energetically aligning yourself with it, it could be that you write a blog post about something that's in line with that. It could be that you're connecting to someone who's in a complementary field to that now, even though there's really no way that the two of you could work together yet, but it's starting to build some of those relationships, or just read some of those books, or whatever it is. Because that's actually what's going to get you towards that big goal, are the million baby steps starting today, as opposed to just one day waking up and saying, hey, I think I want to do this great, big, amazing thing. Starting now in just the tiny,
that's an excellent
tiny pieces.
Point.
Well, thank you.
Thanks, Constance. Yeah, for sure.
You know, it's and that's where if you can really dream big, I mean, there's a lot of things that are possible that, you know, I mean, all of you are either done your training or just about done your training. And something that I used to always say is I'm so glad I never truly knew how long it was going to take me to finish my training, because nobody signs up for that. On the very first day of your very first class, you wouldn't have thought, hey, I really want to go to school for the next 7 years. It seems like a really, really awesome thing to do. You just start. But then every class you take, every semester that goes by, every year that goes by, every degree that you get, you're just that much closer to being done until one day you're done. And it's that same thing with your practice, is if you can at least have a, this is at least the direction I'm heading in, you're going to have a sense of, okay, does this step line up with at least where I want to go? And it'll actually start helping you make some choices today that the impact maybe won't be felt for a few years down the road. But it's going to be at least in alignment with that vision that you want for your life.
Totally.
Perfect. So what was the big picture? What was the big dream that some of you came up with? Even if it doesn't feel achievable, we're not worrying about achievable at this point.
Well, for me, I don't know if it directly answers that, Constance, but in that exercise, I found what turned out to be helpful for me was just having the opportunity to go through that list of questions. And of course, it's not limited to those ones. Those were just prompts that you offered. Mm-hmm. But see which ones of those questions had answers that really jumped out immediately, and to kind of hang on to those pieces as guideposts for me. So I might not have a sense of, you know, like every piece of the puzzle yet, but I have, like, just based on my own reaction to some of those prompts, I know which pieces of the fantasy or the sort of dream are the most fundamental for me.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
That does make sense. So what felt most fundamental for you?
It's around, well, I'd say two pieces. The type of work I'd be doing would be face-to-face, and the space is enormously important to me. It has to be my space. It has to be really comfortable and in designed in a certain way that pleases me. And
okay.
And fits into a balanced lifestyle for me. So those are three ingredients that I know I want to kind of dominate the picture for me. Even though I don't, and so they can be like a constellation of sorts for moving forward.
Perfect. Thank you. So I'm wondering, is anyone in their big vision, are they seeing themselves wanting to move more towards an online format? So it sounds like Kion, it's face-to-face, and so that was a yes from Summer. Anyone else?
Yeah, yes. Can you hear me?
Constance, I actually do a little bit of that already.
Okay.
And I've been doing it for a few of my clients that are, you know, maybe they go away. I have one young guy that I work with that went away to a hockey academy in Kelowna, and he wanted to continue working with me, so we do a lot of Skype sessions. And it works really well. It's not as personal mm-hmm. as when you're talking face to face, but it definitely works.
And so for you, and I know I heard there was a few other yeses in there, but I couldn't see whose face was attached to them fast enough. For those of you who are wanting to be a little bit more in the online realm, again, setting up your practices in a way that allows for that. So that may be a page on your website where you're actually specifically highlighting online. You know, there's just going to be slightly different things. Often, and I know some people who they'll actually do a completely online practice. So they don't actually have an office. That's not important to them. They don't necessarily want to do the face-to-face in that traditional sense. They want to do more kind of reach in on a broader scale so they can work with people wherever. Or else, for those of you who are maybe in the smaller areas, adding that in as a secondary income stream to supplement the fact that there maybe is just less people in your actual area. So it's a slightly different business plan.
Yeah. And for me, as this is summer, because I'm Arabic speaking, there's a lot of need in the Arab world, like mm-hmm. for online counselors who speak Arabic. And I'm going to sign something like that with an online portal to start like next month doing online counseling for the Middle East. Mm. Yeah.
Cool.
Wonderful. Perfect. So what was anybody else's big picture dream or long-term goals?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. I'm just not sure whose voice that is.
Ah, okay. This is Nadine.
Hi, Nadine. Perfect. I can hear a voice, but my picture only moves. There's a lag time, so I couldn't tell whose voice that was attached
to. Okay. I was fussing around with the microphone here.
So what's your long-term vision for your practice?
You know, when I've been playing around with looking into the future and what the future might look like, I would love to be doing a bit more public speaking and some workshops. I think working with groups is something that's really kind of exciting and interesting to me. Mm-hmm. And also because I think the counseling world is changing, I think we'll have to incorporate more sort of email and online access. So I would like to be able to start to use email and also Skype counseling, particularly because I'm also interested in working with people with social anxiety. So
that's a big
those
one.
Are tools that might be helpful.
Yeah, absolutely. Perfect. And the thing with if you know that's the route that you want to go is. And I know that for some of you, that's similar, that you're wanting to do maybe a little bit more of the public speaking side of things, you're wanting to maybe do a little bit more of the group work, is also positioning yourself as a bit of a consultant, as well as a counselor. Because what it does is it starts to really open up what you can do for people. People can just hire you to come in and talk to them about certain things, as opposed to just being a counselor and only really providing therapy as a service. Consulting is a really great revenue stream that allows you to still have huge impact in the community and in the world, but it's just a slightly different way that you're positioning your business to be adding in that second piece.
So what sort of things would you consult on?
Really, it depends on what your specialties are. So, you know, something I sometimes consult on for me is organizational psychology. Sometimes businesses will hire me and just to look at the structure of their business. Sometimes I'll do consulting around communication type things where people just want me to maybe come in and do a communication workshop for them. So again, that's not necessarily counseling. It falls under the counseling umbrella. It's very similar, but it's slightly different than one-on-one counseling. So it's one of those things where it's depending on your specialties, what consulting is going to look like is going to look different. But that's why I really recommend people adding the and consulting piece to their name if they're going to have it be something counseling. I always recommend having at least counseling and consulting, because it just opens it up if you decide to teach down the road, if you decide to do any media, if you decide to do really anything else along those lines. It falls more so under the consulting umbrella than it really does the counseling umbrella.
Oh.
So something to think about.
And I think that's actually, for me, when I was actually answering some of these questions for this week, I actually got really excited because I realized the idea of just doing individual face-to-face counseling, I had to be honest with myself and realize that actually seemed really boring to me.
Mm-hmm.
And then so sitting down and thinking through what might be possible and realizing, oh yeah, well, there's all these other things that are possible, and kind of got me, really excited again.
Absolutely. Well, and my hope for all of you is to just be really honest with yourself around what you get excited about. And the reason for that is this can look however you want it to look, but if you're spending all of your time doing the piece that isn't the most exciting for you, you're going to burn yourself out relatively quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you're somebody who just needs a lot of variety in what you do, if you kind of pigeonhole yourself into only one service or only one way of being in your business, you're going to get bored or you're going to burn out. You know, for me, that's kind of my MO. I like variety. I need variety. I need to be doing lots of different things. And I really found that when I was only seeing my counseling clients, after a while, I would just start getting tired, and it had nothing to do with my clients. They were amazing. But it was just more for me. I needed something different that I could wrap my brain around.
Mm-hmm.
And once I really started getting honest with myself that this is actually, that's okay, and to allow space for those other parts of my business to grow, my love for my counseling clients and my counseling practice really started to grow again, because it had space to breathe, because it wasn't the only thing that I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I really invite you to just, if you really love the public speaking side, and it's not that you don't love working with your clients, but if that's something that really excites you, make that a bigger portion of your practice. Actually use that to your advantage, as opposed to feeling like, well, because I'm in private practice, I have to only do it this way. I have to only see clients. I have to only see them face to face. And that's what private practice means. It can be so much more than that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's helpful to know.
Perfect. Thanks, Maydeen. And congratulations for being honest with yourself on that one.
Yeah. I was like, oh, that was actually, I don't think I enjoyed that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and I know, at least for myself, something that I really had to learn to be okay with that. I think there was a bit of an identity wrapped up in, I'd spent so long wanting to be a counselor and wanting to have my own private practice. And then when I got there and a couple of years in, I was starting to get tired. I had a bit of a panic attack.
Yeah.
Like, did I just go to school for this long and, you know, spend all this money and really set my life up this way to get somewhere and I'm not doing the thing that I really love?
Mm.
And if I really love doing the consulting, and if I really love doing the teaching, and if I really love doing the writing, does that mean I shouldn't be a therapist?
Right.
That was something I really had to sit with, and eventually I really came to a place where, no, that doesn't mean I shouldn't be a therapist, but it does mean I need to expand what my idea of private practice is to allow for all of these other aspects of who I am. And for all of you, your practices are going to look different because what excites you is going to be different. What you actually want is going to be different. And I just really want you to all give yourselves permission to have it look however you want it to look.
Thank you for that.
Great. Okay, so now I guess who actually had a chance to do a little bit of market analysis and would like to maybe share what they found, what they noticed when they were looking around?
Yeah, I did a little bit of it.
Okay.
This is Sean. I think the thing that I found really interesting, because I'm also at this point, I'm looking to kind of update my website, and so for me it was kind of nice to see some of the different types of websites that other counselors are using. But I think the thing that really stuck out for me was you know, just how many people are in my area that are doing this.
Okay. And how did that feel?
Well, I mean, the first thing that I came to mind was I have to stand out amongst everybody else. So, because it's, you know, people go online, you know, they can type into the Counseling BC website and they can, you know, search an area and there's 50, 60 different counselors that are waiting for them. And how do you go through that? And how do you decide, you know, how do you decide that you're going to stand out that way? So for me, I thought, yeah, that's a big challenge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is a challenge. Absolutely. And the great thing, though, is the more you just become more of who you already are and are able to convey that, mm-hmm. it will be very easy. I'm going to let that sit for a second.
Yeah. No. I'm busy trying to write it down. The more you become what you are.
It is. The more you become of what you already are, the easier it'll be. And the reason for that is you already have what your ideal client's looking for. Just by virtue of being who you are, you already have the qualifications. Every single person who came out of the training programs have the qualifications. So that isn't the piece that sets you apart. It's the piece that sets you apart from maybe other industries. But when it comes to actual counselors, that's not what's going to set you apart. You're the piece that's going to set you apart. And so the more that you can really get clear about and really let people know, like, this is how I see the world. This is how I work. This is a little bit about myself. Next week, we're going to be going into this in a lot more detail. Basically, the next 3 weeks are going to be just getting deeper and deeper into this idea of uncovering who you are, uncovering who your client is, and then figuring out really where the cross section of those two are, so that they can really recognize that, you know, they are for you and you are for them. Because you're right, Sean, it can be really terrifying when you look at some of the directories and you realize, like, I think you're in Langley, is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so head on over to Vancouver. there's a lot of us here.
Yeah, well, I looked at, like, I just to for ease, I went through the Counseling BC website and I thought it was interesting. I think in Vancouver there was like 150 counselors registered there, and then Langley was like the third or fourth most in BC. Yeah. So,
wow.
And it's about also not getting caught up in that either.
Yeah.
Because when you actually think about how many people there are in the world, and even just in your area, and you factor that out, if you just do the basic division, there's more than enough to go around.
Sure.
And there's always going to be somebody who's going through a divorce, or who just lost their job, or who just found out that they're sick, or, you know, just had a child, or there's life is always consistently happening to everybody. So there's always new people who are looking for their person. And I find that it's something to really intentionally stay out of that place of fear, or else we start making decisions that actually aren't really right for our practice or for ourselves. We're doing them because we're worried that someone else is going to kind of come onto our turf. And so just the more you can realize there's more than enough clients for everybody. And as long as you could just let them know, this is who I am. This is why we should work together. It becomes a really easy interaction for people. Perfect. Thank you, Sean. Mm-hmm. So, did anyone else have a similar feeling when they were looking around and doing their analysis of what was already existing?
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Is that me, Dean?
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
That's okay.
Oh yeah. It definitely seems daunting, other people that I've talked to that I'm finishing school with, they're also kind of saying, the market is saturated, and it's really hard to even just get a job in the field, let alone start a private practice. So yeah, but it's pretty daunting.
I guess I come at it from a slightly different way of, I think it's actually easier to make it a private practice than it is to try to get a job in the field.
Tell me about that.
Just because there's a finite amount of jobs, whereas private practice, you create your own job.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not to say that those jobs aren't out there. They absolutely are. And for, somebody has to get them. But there is a somewhat of a limited amount of them, just based on there's only so much funding, or there's just only so many agencies. Whereas when it comes to private practice, you get to create one out of thin air.
You can make 5 times the money.
Exactly. There's that too. that part's nice. But you can, it's definitely harder work in the beginning, for sure. And there's absolutely maintenance that needs to be involved. But once you really get your systems up in place, it's very doable, as long as you're really clear about what makes you different. That's really the key. Thanks, Nadine. Perfect. So I'm gonna call on a few people for being quiet. what did you notice over on the island, Courtney?
I've got to be honest, for this activity, I didn't really do a lot of market research. When I first moved to Nanaimo, I did a little bit, mm-hmm. and I guess something that I noticed was that some of the websites that I saw weren't super attractive. So I was kind of looking, I don't know, maybe a bit vain, but it really made me think about wanting to have an attractive web presence as well, I guess. And then, I think that was kind of the main thing that I noticed when looking at some of the other stuff over here. I think I was surprised at how many counselors there actually are in Nanaimo.
Okay.
But yeah.
Well, and I think that's a pretty common experience as far as therapists are. And just wellness professionals in general are not necessarily known to be the techiest bunch.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not, it's not something that we were taught in school at all. And so even just that, taking the time to really create a professional looking website, that can actually be a complete, I don't want to say separator, but that's not it. There's a word. That is completely running away from my brain right now.
Differentiator.
That's the word I'm looking for. I was like, if I just stare at the wall long enough, I'll come to me. So that even just that is just having a professional website, really taking the time to invest in your online presence, and having a domain that is easy to type. Something as simple as that. Sometimes people get really, they want to fit everything into their domain or their entire business name, and there's no need for that. And just keeping it really simple and keeping it clean and keeping it professional, actually, particularly nowadays, people are much more, they have a higher expectation of good web presence.
Mm-hmm.
And so people will judge you immediately based on, is it a clean and professional website?
Mm-hmm. Totally, and I think that's what I was doing. I was certainly passing judgment on some of the websites and was going, I don't know if I would want to go to this particular person due to their website, but I think it's also a reflection of being my generation too, mm-hmm. and like you saying, changing society in terms of web presence being really important.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, thanks.
Mm-hmm.
So, how about for you, Tanu? Can you hear me? Yes. Oh, we still can't hear you. No.
Oh, no.
Oh, she's typing. It's all good. It's all good. If you have any questions, please hit me up in the group. But how about for you, Carmen? What are you finding when you're looking around in your area?
Sorry, can you hear me?
Absolutely, yeah.
Oh, great. A few different things, I think. Yeah, when I really started digging and looking through directories and sort of just really, really poking around, I found more people than I thought I would.
Okay.
Same thing, I found some kind of unprofessional looking websites. So that was one of the things that kind of appealed to me. Like, I think obviously I'll have to have a strong web presence. And so I think having a professional website that's clean, not too jumbled, that was something that I thought would be important for me. One of the sort of challenging things I thought will be finding, like, figuring out how I am different, because my training is very, like, is generalist training. And so I have some, you know, some ways that I've tried to start specializing, but it's, you know, I wouldn't feel entirely comfortable putting myself out there as a specialist in these areas yet. So I think that is what's going to be tricky for me, is like you were talking about, figuring out what it is that I have to offer that's different. So,
well, and, yeah. And I guess I would challenge you to think outside of your specialties.
Okay.
Because I promise you, just from your lived experience,
mm-hmm.
there's something that already sets you apart.
Okay, that's really helpful.
You know, so if you can, and I would expand this really to everyone, if you can look at what do you already know very intimately in your life,
mm-hmm.
and what experiences have you had?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you would be amazed how many clients I get because on my website I mention that I worked on a sailboat.
Mm-hmm.
And people instantly, there's a connection there. A lot of my clients seem to really like to do either extreme sports or travel, or would aspire for that, even if it's not something that they do themselves. And so the fact that I just say I used to work on a sailboat, that is a real connection point for a lot of people.
Mm.
You know, so that when I say what makes you different, it doesn't necessarily mean what specialties do you have that are different than the other people in town. It's actually what about your life makes you different.
I really appreciate that, actually, because that was one of the things I did observe when I was going through the websites, is that I did appreciate when people added some kind of a personal touch, mm-hmm. like where I had a sense that I kind of had a feel for the person.
Yeah.
So, okay, that's great. Thank you.
Yeah. You may have generalist training in a psychological sense, but mm-hmm. you are not a generalist as far as life is concerned.
Right. Yeah.
And great. I always use the rule of, if I would tell it to a stranger on a bus, it's fair game to go on my website.
Mm-hmm.
And so absolutely, my entire life story is not on my website.
Mm-hmm.
There's certain things I just don't necessarily share with my clients, or I don't share with all of my clients, or just mm-hmm. the general public. But there are certain things that are a little bit different about my approach or about my life or just the way I see things.
Mm-hmm.
That is often what clients are resonating with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think I had mentioned this to Sean and I were having a conversation in the online community, and I was saying that people make decisions based on feelings, and then they go look for the facts to back it up.
Mm-hmm.
And so people will really decide if they want to work with you based on if they like your picture, based on if they like your website, based on things that actually have nothing to do with a lot of things, but they will make a decision based on that, and then they're going to go look to try to convince themselves that you were the right person. Then they're going to go look at your degrees. Then they're going to go look at all of those other logistical pieces.
Mm-hmm.
But they're mm-hmm. generally going to make their initial decision based on a feeling.
You know, Constance, to just kind of speak to that as well, like one of the things that that I kind of promote a little bit, I do a lot of work with athletes, and I have my certification as a mental game coaching professional. And My background is athletics, and I played hockey up to junior, and so that's where my sort of my passion is. Mm-hmm. And I promote that on my website, and it's interesting because I get a lot of people that will contact me, and one of the first things that I always ask is, how did you hear about me, or why did you pick me out of all this big sea of people? And I get a lot of people that say, well, I saw that you played hockey, or I saw that you're really interested in athletics, and I'm really interested in athletics, or I played hockey. And so right away they sort of feel that connection. Mm-hmm. And it's been, I mean, I've had parents that have brought their kids to me that said, oh, they've had terrible experiences connecting with other counselors, but you know, when they saw that you played hockey and that you coach hockey, you know, they were interested. And so I guess that's sort of the thing that I promote to kind of make myself stand out, I guess.
Absolutely. That's a really great example. It's not always us as a therapist that pulls people in. It's us as people. We're connecting people to people, and then it just happens to be that we have this skill set that can actually walk them through what it is that's happening in their life. You know, so if you can find those pieces and just be able to share them with people of just what sets you apart. I mean, I have people come to me, and it'll be because of something in my core values or something in the fact that, oh, you lived in that place, and I lived in that place. And so I knew that you would at least get me. Or I'll often get a lot of people who are expats who have moved over here. And I, because I talk about traveling so much, they're like, well, I figured you'd understand what it was like to live somewhere else. You know, we'll be working on relationship stuff. We'll be working on anything else that we're not talking about that, but they just want to know that someone's going to get what it's like to be living somewhere that isn't necessarily your home. Yeah. So when it comes to setting yourself apart, those are the pieces that I'd really love for you guys to just spend some time with, because that's there. You don't need to take a course in that. You've lived it. But it's being able to actually speak it in a way that people can actually find it. Mm. So. Perfect. Thanks. Thanks, Sean and Carmen.
Yeah, thank you.
So does anyone have any more questions about the material so far, whether it's from week one or week two, or kind of something quasi-related to what we've been going through for the last few weeks?
I don't know if this is the right time for this question, but I am curious about some therapists who've chosen to add blogs to their website. Mm-hmm. Because that's something I'm really interested in, and particularly because I think it does kind of position the therapist a bit differently and sort of almost makes the therapist more sort of human or approachable. So I'm very interested in that trend. So I'm just curious to hear anyone's thoughts about blogging on a professional, on your website.
What I'll say is we're going to cover that a lot in the marketing piece.
Okay.
But I absolutely think if it's something that you, again, like to do, I would absolutely have it on there for a lot of different reasons. It drives traffic to your website. Having new content and specific content will absolutely increase your SEO rankings. As well, it provides a lot of credibility, and it's providing information. It's letting people get to know a little bit about your style, a little bit about the way that you work with things. So again, it's just that extra information where people can really feel like, okay, like I read this blog post and I feel like I agree with the way that they worked with that, or I learned something from what they shared, and so maybe they could help me.
Still had to go because we're so late. Oh, sorry, I forgot to put it on mute. I was just talking to somebody in the background. Sorry about that.
No, that's okay. I was like, oh, I don't know what that is. you know, so definitely we'll be covering that a lot more as we go through. Those pieces will be coming up. But yeah, definitely if you don't have a blog and you have any interest in having one, I would highly, highly recommend it. If you look at my website, I have a blog on there. I maybe put a post up once every 6 months. sometimes it's yearly. There's not a lot in there, and yet I get a lot of traffic from those ones, and those they get shared often. And I get calls from people who say, I really liked your post about whatever. So it doesn't necessarily need to be something that's really labor intensive. I should blog more. I just have other things that have been bigger fires lately than blogging. But if it's something that you enjoy, I would absolutely be doing it. Thanks, Nadine.
Okay.
So, anybody else have any questions?
I have a quick question about naming practice. Yes. Naming our practice.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about, like, is it more strategic to use your name so that it's maybe more memorable? Is there any research on this? Or, you know, is it best to go with something that speaks to you again? Or?
There is research on both sides.
Okay.
And so that's why I always say go with what you feel is going to align with the long-term vision of your practice. There's the benefits. If it's your name, again, it's really easy. It's you. So you're positioning yourself really as a personal brand.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you have a business name, you're basically building equity in the name as opposed to you personally.
Mm-hmm.
And there, again, there's pros and cons for both depending on what your longer term vision is.
Okay.
Yeah. So there isn't really a, like, you should go this way if you're in private practice.
Mm-hmm.
It just really depends on, you know, do you want it to be a business that's sellable in the future? If so, you probably don't want to put your name on it.
Mm-hmm.
If you want it to be more product-based or workshop-based, you wouldn't necessarily need your name attached to that. It could be more of a brand name.
Yeah.
Whereas most counselors, I find, really only need their name with a counseling and consulting attached to it, at least to get started, because we don't really, our name isn't that important. However, you do need to think about it.
Yeah.
So I know those two things kind of contradict each other, but they're both actually equally true.
okay.
We can kind of get hung up on a name.
Mm-hmm.
I know for me, I tried probably, I had 10 different versions, and every single one, here was the one, and I loved it, and I would ask some people, you know, when you hear this name, what do you think? And then I would get these magical responses that were not at all what I thought the name meant. I realized there was way too much room for interpretation for any of the ones I seemed to gravitate towards. They were either impossible to pronounce or people didn't really get what it was. I was trying to be clever and they just didn't quite translate. And so finally I just got fed up and said, okay, fine, I'm just going to use my name. And for my private practice, that's what it is. And it's worked great. Because it's not like the name of your business is going to be front and center. Really, you are going to be front and center in your private practice.
Yeah, totally. Okay.
Yeah, so sometimes your name really is a bit of it's a box you need to tick so that you can move forward as far as the rest of the things. If you're still trying to figure that out, and this goes for everybody, is I really, really would recommend purchasing the domain of your name,
mm-hmm.
even if you don't use your name as your private practice domain. Because what that does is it keeps that option open to you if you ever decide to change your mind or if you ever decide to go in a different direction. You are the person who owns your name online. No one else can come in and use it.
Okay.
No. And some of you have very distinctive names, so the chances of somebody else coming in and taking that is pretty slim, but it's still just a good thing to have because it just keeps those doors open for a little bit of movement down the road if you do decide to go in a different direction.
Yeah, totally. Okay.
All right. Any other quick questions?
I have Carmen here. I have a quick question about names. How easy is it to add to a name down the line or change a name down the line?
It depends on the way your business is set up. As a sole proprietor, it's not that hard. You basically just go through the process again. So you just go through the registration again. And it was just, you just repay, reapply, and then re-register. Whereas if you are registered as an incorporation, which, again, most of you I don't think would be even considering that route, but if for some reason you're in a position that you are, that's significantly harder because you're essentially changing a legal entity, and there's just a lot of paperwork and often quite a big cost involved. But most people don't really have to worry about that at this stage.
Yeah. Thank you.
No problem. Okay. Well, I want to thank all of you for the experimental group call that was supposed to be a video call that still ended up being a voice call. Thanks for trying it out. And we'll go back to the drawing board and see if we can come up with a better option. If I can't, I feel like this thing exists. I know when on the website, Skype said that they would do video calls for up to 25. So now I'm going to have to go shake my fist at them and something else. We will try again. Again, if not, we can just go back to the original one where it's calling in on the phone line for everybody. We know that that works. So we have options, but I'll let people know what we're going to try for next week.
Hey, Constance. Yeah. Just one more thing. It's Zoe here. Hi. I have to say hello to everybody. I'm coming in 2 weeks late, so I was very quiet today, which I'm not normally. I just have to get caught up on the homework, which I was poking around and looking on the business of helping while we were talking too. And I think I get it. So, but about halfway through the call, my option. Hi, Kyan. My option to bring my mm-hmm. video back online happened, and I can see Tanu and Kaya.
Yeah. The reason for that is there's been a couple people who have dropped off, so we've gone back. Yeah, so that's why that's happened. Summer had to drop off the call, and I think that's what took us under the limit. So unfortunately, I'm assuming because she was driving, or she may have gotten to where she needed to be. It seems like your number of 9 seems to be more accurate than their number of 25. It seems like. So we will come up with a new solution. But yes, everybody, welcome to Zoe. And we'll get you up and going on the online community here after the call. And I really want to thank all of you too for being so active in the group. It's been great. I love seeing all the conversations and all the questions. And like I said, just if you have anything, even if it's not one of the prompts that I've put out there, feel free to just drop it in there. I'm happy to answer any questions. Or if you have a specific question around your circumstances, if it is trying to hash out what a name might be or pros and cons, those types of things, I'm happy to go back and forth with you in the group in between the calls. So we will get all of you figured out. It's my promise.
Awesome. Thanks, Constance.
Thank you. Wonderful.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye, guys.
Yep. Bye.
Good night, everyone.
Bye.
Good week, everyone. Bye-bye.